Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Just stay standing while I read this passage. Ezekiel 37 says, "The Lord took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor." We will get up on the screen in a second. "They were scattered everywhere across the ground. They're completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say,'" read it with me, "'dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.'" This is what the sovereign Lord says. "Look, I'm going to put breath into you." Say with me, "I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again." I feel like some people are going to come alive again today. Come on, I said it's time for some people to live again today. "I'm going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. And I will breathe into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me." Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. "As I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley, and the bones of every bone came together and attached themselves as a complete skeleton. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind.'" Everyone say wind. "To the winds, O son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke a message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They came to life and stood on their feet, a great army." One last time, lift your hands like you're about to receive. "Father, I speak wind, I speak breath, I speak life, I speak the word of God, I speak faith into every person that hears my voice this morning, that your word, your promises, your life and your faithfulness would be breathed into them afresh, that today we would rise up, not stay where we are, but step into destiny, step into purpose, step into life, that we, your church, would be a great army, that would walk in all you've called us to be. And in advance of it all, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen." Cool. Cool beans. Why don't you grab your seat? Are you feeling good? Yes, I can tell. Thanks, team. That was awesome. Well, let's get into the word if we've not met. I'm Josh. There we go, best friends. Let's do this. We are going to, next week, start what we're going to call Vision Month. Vision Month. Normally in February, what we do is we do Vision Sunday. Next month, we're going to do a month of vision. We're going to skip it early because we think when you've had a year like 2020, too many people are waiting for this year to end. That's not a visionary life. We want to prophesy what next year is going to bring, not wanting just to get through this year. Amen? You don't need to survive a season. You need to thrive by looking at what God's going to do in the next season. And we believe we're going to, over this next month, declare what God is saying into your next year. We believe we've heard clearly what God is saying to us as a church. And if you're part of the church, God's speaking to you. And sometimes what we do is we go into a new year saying, "God, what do you want to do?" What we want to help you with is maybe suggest what we believe God's saying to the church. And then from that, you can position yourself and say, "God, with that thought in mind, what do you want to do through my life? How do you want to speak to me? How do you want me to relate to you? How do you want me to love others through what God's saying?" So we're going to have Vision Month. And I want to tell you, we serve an all-creative God that's got great plans for your life. Do you believe it? Well, no, not 12 of us. That's good. That's why I'm preaching this message. I'm setting you up. You don't have to believe it now, but I promise you by the end of today you will, because we serve an all-creative God that cannot help but do new things with old people. He cannot help but breathe life into dust and raise up new bones to see people walk into destiny and purpose. It doesn't matter how you got here, how often you've been here, God has a plan for every person that's sitting in this room. 2020 has not slowed down God. 2020 has not deterred him. 2020 has not confused him. 2020 has not changed him. We are right where we need to be. He is still on the throne. His promises are still yes. God's not finished with you yet. If you believe it, say yes.
Yes.
So let's go to Ezekiel 37. The passage we just read starts with a valley of dry bones. Now, the history and story behind this is the Israelites are in captivity again. They thought they had breakthrough, but who knows? When you're human, you have breakthrough and you go through a good season, but then things get difficult again. This is life. One day we're on top of the mountain, next moment we're in the valley, but God will rescue them. And we see this valley of dry, helpless, hopeless bones. What it shows to us is not just the people in their body, it's representing the Israelites, it's representing the people of God. It's a picture for you and me. It's actually not talking that they were lifeless in the physical form. It was saying their spirit was lifeless, that they were hopeless, they were helpless, and they were lifeless. And all of this takes place in a valley. I don't know about you, I see things in pictures. When I picture this story, I imagine the elephant's graveyard off the Lion King. Is anyone else there? That's where we're existing right now, on the hyenas and all that sort of stuff. That's where we are in my mind. Except this one, it says that bones completely covered the valley. I mean, this is a lot of people that are not living their life to the full. It says that the bones are completely scattered, which means that there is no connection to one another. There is no connection to hope. There's no, the elbow connects to the wrist, I guess. I don't know the song, but you get the idea. It also says they're dry. There's no life in those bones. Even a dog wouldn't go and sniff those bones. There's nothing in them. There's no hope for these bones. The Bible's really trying to make a point. But the good news is this takes place in a valley season. And you might be like, in a valley season? I don't want the valley season. I don't want to live in that valley season. I'm in the valley. Why is that good news? Well, there can only ever be a valley if there's a mountain. There can only be a valley if there's another season, another place, another journey God's going to take you on. We love mountaintop experiences, but on the mountain we see God, but in the valley we become like God. In the valley we walk with God, and in the valley we trust God. You will never be closer to God than you are in the valley season. So enjoy the valley season, because God's doing something in you and for you to take you to your next place that God has for you. When we read this passage, this isn't a passage on hopelessness. This is a passage on hope. You can have hope today. God's got good for your life. Yep. But it does represent something we love to avoid, and that is pain. Who likes to avoid pain? Yep. We avoid pain. We hate pain. We'll do anything to get away from pain. Who wants to go to the gym but doesn't go to the gym because they don't want to experience pain? In our gym, they just introduced a new bike, which sounds nice. When you're a kid and you get a new bike, you're excited. This is not a normal bike. This is called an assault bike. It is made with one purpose, to assault you. It's not fun. I know there's some guys like Stephen Lockett that cycle, and it's a bicycle. It's friendly. I think he's got flowers and a little basket on the front of his bike, and they go for a nice little ride for an hour or two because you can on a bicycle. The assault bike, you last 2 to 3 minutes, and it's like everything in you wants to die. And you feel awful for a few minutes, and because every part of you, muscles you didn't know you had, everything aches and you are in pain. But that pain is actually good for you. It strengthens you. It grows you. It shows you what's gotten a little bit weak, what hasn't been exercised for a while, which is everything. And then while you feel pain there, you actually wake up the next day after having a good session on the assault bike feeling a little bit better. Pain is actually good for you. It tells you something needs to be healed, something needs to be restored. I mean, we avoid pain. Don't we avoid pain? This Wednesday just gone by, we were so close to keeping our boys home from school. Why? Because we didn't want to experience pain as parents because it was book week. Isn't that the gift that just keeps on giving? Isn't that the worst as parents? I don't know, that's the worst week of the year. Especially if you cannot be bothered. If you're a parent that wants to show up, go for it. Yeah, super. For us, every year, if you don't know what book week is, it's where the kids dress up in a character of a book they haven't read. And they all go, and it's for the kids, but really it's for the parents. And every year, It comes to the night before book week, and our kids remind us that it's book week tomorrow, and we wonder, should we keep our kids home tomorrow? Because we are totally underprepared, and every year we'll say we'll be better, but we never will be. And so we ask the boys, you know, well, every year, to be honest, Jackson's in his fifth year of school. Every year he's worn the same Stormtrooper uniform, and they started as pants, and now it's shorts. And literally, we thought, well, if he goes this year, it's going to be undies, so we can't send him in that. Because no imagination. So we said, what do you guys want to go as? And Jordan said, I'll go as Jordan. So we put a Michael Jordan singlet on him and found a Michael Jordan book and said, there you go, pretend you've read it. And Jackson said, I want to go as Jackson. So he's got a book called Jackson Kicks a Goal. So we put a footy Guernsey on him and sent him. Thank God for sports singlets. But book week's different because Shana, but every day Shana wants to layer my kids. Like, you know, she's afraid, even if it's 30 degrees, they're going to be cold. Wear a singlet, wear a t-shirt, wear a jumper. And when she's not looking, I take off the singlet, I take off the jumper, just put the t-shirt on. Except for book week, they can go in a singlet on a 16 degree day because we just want to get through the day, right? We want to survive. We drop our kids before the driveway on book week because there's parents literally with like the costume department from the musical Chicago dressing the kids in this costume with a headpiece and tail. And we don't want to do the drive of shame because we don't really care the kids' feelings. We're embarrassed of ourselves and the pathetic effort we put in book week. COVID takes everything away from us and leaves us with book week, but we try to avoid it. Have I made it clear what I think about book week? But we avoid pain. We take Panadol to numb our pain. We drink to numb our pain. We disappear into a different reality on our phone to ignore the pain. We binge shows on Netflix to escape the pain. We look for new people and new experiences and new things to run from pain. The truth is, pain is actually something from God to show us that we're alive. It allows us to know that something is wrong. It allows us to know that something can be better. And to be honest, when it comes to the things that we're facing in life, it calls us to take spiritual authority over our circumstances. How would we be reminded to take spiritual authority unless at times we need to go and fight and take it back for our families and our life? I don't know if you ever left the fridge door open, even just a tiny bit, and then you go sit on the couch, and then you hear in the background, beep, 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 and you try to ignore it for as long as you can, thinking someone else will hear it. But no one else in the whole house hears that fridge except for you. And eventually, while it's annoying, it's just a reminder that something has to be done and you have to shut the door. For some of us, we need to shut the door on the circumstances that are speaking loudly in our life. And the pain and the difficulty and the frustration we're going through is actually not the power of the enemy. It's just a reminder. You get to choose where you focus. You can look at the enemy's work or see the pain that you're walking through or the pain you've walked through to be a reminder that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a child of God. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You have the power of his word in your hand. Take authority back for your life. Don't drink it away. Don't look at something else to hide away from it. Don't run from it. Don't anesthetize yourself. Get in the word and believe that God has a better season for you. Do you believe it this morning? Yeah. You're getting there. Warming up. 46 of us now. I'm going to get you there. So God says to Ezekiel, he's obviously going through a whole heap of pain. Can these bones live? Ezekiel, see these bones, see this pain, see this dryness, see this disconnection. Can these bones live? I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, can they be living people? Because I think there are way too many Christians that are surviving, but they are not living. Yeah. There are too many people that God created that you are making it through this year. You're making it through this month. You're making it through this job. You get through your 9 to 5. You get through your degree. You get through another year in the relationship and you are merely just surviving. Can I remind you, God has not called one person with the breath of God, the living Christ living in us, the one that died and rose again, did not conquer all of what he conquered so you could survive. God's plan is that you would live. Are you hearing me this morning? There's too many people that are watching how everyone else is living. And while we don't admit it, we were just surviving. God said, can you believe that you can live again? Yeah. I want to ask you, do you believe that you can live again? You can. For those that have walked through difficulty, you can live again. Those that have gone through loss, you can live again. those that have gone through broken relationships, you can live again. For those that have walked through difficulty, you can live again. That's why God wants you to hear this today before we go into Vision Month, because God wants to show you how you can live again. But he wants our faith attached to it. For you to get there, you don't get there by luck. You actually don't get there by someone else doing it for you. What gets the attention of God is faith. Everyone say faith. So God asked Ezekiel this question, do you believe that these bones can live again? Now, this is the difficulty. I think if you get anything out of today, this is what I want you to get. We think we have to see it to believe it. So he says to Ezekiel, can you see that these bones could live? And does Ezekiel say yes? No, because Ezekiel can't see it. Ezekiel is not a prophet at this point. Ezekiel is not a great priest. He's just a guy doing life, studying, ready to go, literally about to go into the next season of his life. Should be further ahead, but he's not. He's like you and me. And God says, can you see the potential that's here? And Ezekiel, well, he can't. But Ezekiel, because he can't say yes, it doesn't mean he says no. And this is really important because I felt the Holy Spirit say too many people that can't see the next season of their life because you can't say it, see it, you've been saying no to it. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean you take authority and say no to it. You don't have to lie to God and say, yeah, I can see it when I can't see it. Like, do you remember those pictures that we used to have on walls where they had all the dots and you look really hard and you see a shark and someone say, twist your eyes, go cross-eyed, look at it. And if you look at it long enough, you're going to see a picture in the picture and eventually you lie because you're the only person in the room that can't see it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you, this is what we sometimes do with God. Yeah, I can see it. You can't see it. He knows you can't see it. But then the other side of it, some of us say no to what we can't see. Because you can't see it doesn't mean you say no either. Some of us are saying no to God's promises for what you can't see. But when you can't see it, you can still believe it. Just delegate authority to the Almighty. I'll say it again because that's better than how you responded. When you can't see it, you don't have to see it. You just have to believe in Him. And when you believe in Him, you delegate authority to the Almighty. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians? We live by faith or by believing and not by sight. Because you don't see it doesn't mean it's a no. It means that you have to delegate what you can't see to the one that can see and says, I will give all my authority to the Almighty. Stop rejecting the promises and plans that God has for your life because you can't see it or you're not living there yet. Where you are is where you are, but it is not the final destination. God has more for your life. Come on, let's give Him praise this morning. But this is important. We are saying when God does it, I'll believe it. No, God will only act if you believe it. And the order matters. Until Ezekiel believes it and gives authority to God to do it, God won't do it. Yeah. Someone's going, God, do it and I'll believe it. Change them. Do this now, then I'll believe it. Then I'll change. No, believe it and then God will do it. This is called faith. We live by faith or believing and not by sight. So when he says, can this marriage live? Can this sick body live? Can my soul live? Can my kids live? Can my 1988 Commodore live? Everything except the last one can happen for your life. Get rid of the Commodore. Simply believe before you see it. I feel God was speaking to someone today. Are you feeling good? Might be like, all that's left is dry bones. God can deal with dry bones. Even bones a dog won't sniff out, God can deal with. He is a resurrecting God. He's a God that resurrected Moses' career. He's a God that resurrected Joseph's dreams. He's a God that resurrected Nahum's body. He's a God that Nehemiah's mind. He's a God that resurrected Jairus' daughter. He's a God that resurrected a boy on the way on his middle of his funeral. He's a God that resurrected a woman with a death sentence. He's a God that resurrected his best friend. He's a God that defeated death himself and resurrected his own body by the power of the Holy Spirit. He can do what no one else can do. It's there, even for Jesus. In the valley moment between Friday and Sunday, where it seems like it's too dark, it's too far gone. The stones in front of the grave, the guards making sure no one can get in. He is diagnosed as dead. Even then, he can resurrect from the dead. He is in the resurrection game. Bones are easy. He made you and me with dust. If it exists, it's easy for God. The question is, do you believe it? Don't doubt God's power. Look here first and go, do I believe it? Do I believe not in me? Not even saying you believe in them. It starts with, do you believe in him? So what does he say? Does he say fight? I mean this today. Some of us just change our language, change our prayers just a little bit. Watch what happens. Does he say fight? No. He says speak to the bones. Everyone say this, speak to the bones. We speak and he'll fight. We'll speak and he creates. Some of us are trying to manufacture situations, trying to force the hand of God, trying to do all the work ourselves. No, maybe we start believing because there's a pattern and then we start speaking. Just like Jericho, did he tell them to fight? No, he told them to walk and speak. Paul and Silas in prison, did they have to fight? No, they had to sit and sing. There's something what happens when we begin to speak to our bones. Talk to your bones. The problem is too many of us are talking about our bones. We're talking about our circumstance. We're talking about that marriage. We're talking about that person. We're talking about our frustrations. He doesn't need you to talk about it. He needs you to talk to it. There's a difference. Stop blaming, stop pointing, stop complaining, and stop regretting. Don't talk about what was. Don't even focus on what is. He said, prophesy to your bones. Speak to the bones. Don't describe the bones. Don't talk about how the bones got there. Don't try to analyze how we got here. But speak to the bones, believe it, and speak into it. I believe this. See a miracle, you've got to believe what you can't see, and then you've got to speak. Matthew tells me, put it on the screen for me, says, words are powerful. Read this next bit. Take them seriously. I felt this as I was sharing in the first service. Sometimes we know scripture, but we leave it up, but we don't take it seriously. How do we know? Because we can say it, but do we live by it? The other day, my boy's just always playing, always wrestling, always in the imagination world. And the other day, Geordie runs into the kitchen, opens the drawer, grabs out a big knife, and runs into the lounge room. And he said, Geordie, what are you doing with the knife? And he's like, I'm playing with Jackson. Now, if I asked him, are you allowed to play with knives, what would be his answer? No. But the reality is, in the moment, he just thinks what he thinks and does what he does. We say, no, Geordie, listen to my words. Take them seriously. Matthew's saying, seriously. Seriously. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, and words can be your damnation. We can believe it, but be speaking something completely different. And the words that come out of your mouth are powerful enough to weaken the faith that's in your spirit. In fact, if you have faith in your spirit in God, but your words say something different, your words reveal where you really are and you limit the power of God operating in your life. Because you can't have faith in your spirit and different words on your lips. You see, faith is given authority when it comes out of my mouth. That's why it talks about the word of God. We've said this so many times, but the power is in the repetition. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. That word for two-edge is two-mouth. One word is God's mouth to me, found in the word of God. The second mouth is my mouth speaking out the promises and the truth of God. The only way I have the power and the weapon, the only weapon that's seen in the armor of God is the sword, the word of God. The only weapon I have is the word of God. So what words are coming out of my mouth? But I don't feel it, Josh. I've given authority to God, but I don't feel it. No, what I declare changes my feelings. Not change your feelings and then declare it. What you declare will change your feelings. I say again, what you declare changes your feelings. I may not think it, I may not feel it, but I'm going to speak it. Ezekiel 37 verse 4, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, read it with me, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. You've got to believe it, and then you've got to speak it. Now, what is highlighted here on this screen? Exclamation mark. One of those ones. Why? It's not all the way through Scripture. At specific points, the Holy Spirit led the writers to put a big fat exclamation mark there. What is it saying? Emphasis, volume, and authority is instructed right here. When you read an exclamation mark, grammatically, you are making an exclamation. You are making a point. You are having emphasis. So you're saying, I can't just say things. I have to change how I say things. Yes, I am. Let me tell you, my dog thinks he rules our kingdom. We have a dog called Buddy. He was a mistake. He's fat now. We call him Chubby. And this dog sits at the end of our bed, and one of the people in our house, and I don't want to say who, but it's one of the girls that lives in our house, and she'll say, come on, Buddy. Come on. Buddy will try and we'll eat food, and he's a beagle. Oh. Speaking things over him. All right, so maybe that's the problem. It's food, and he'll come and jump on the chair. He'll find a way. Shans will say, get down. The person, I'm not going to mention who, she'll say, get down, Buddy. And he'll sit there and do whatever he wants. But when you stand up, because I'm the authority in my home when it comes to that dog, I'm like, Buddy, he's gone straight away. Now, I didn't have to scream, but he knows when I stand up and say, Buddy, there's an exclamation mark on what's coming next. There's an authority and a change in tone that lets him know that I am the boss. What some of us need to do is attach our voice to his power and let it have an authoritarian exclamation mark that says, not in my home, not in my mind, not in my life, not in my marriage, not in my body, not in my business and not for my kids, not in my church and not in my state. We have to have an authority that says, no way. Because he had to prophesy with an exclamation mark. Let me tell you what Jesus spent. When Jesus rose again, Acts before the Holy Spirit comes, it only shows us one thing. Now, Jesus may have talked on lots of things, but the only thing the Holy Spirit wanted you to know that Jesus taught about between his resurrection and his ascension was kingdom power, kingdom authority. He taught them the kingdom of God, which means you have dominion and authority over all things, that you have been given the keys to the kingdom of earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. But these are aggressive words. But the devil wants you quiet. The devil wants you muted. The devil wants to keep you small. But when your kids are on the line and when depression is taking over your mind and you haven't got your miracle yet and you're living not in the abundance but in limitation and you're confused about tomorrow and the enemy wants you to be quiet, it's time for the church to rise up, for men and women to rise up and say, no, not on my watch, these bones can live. It's time to prophesy. Some of us are addicted and stuck and we're letting other situations and other circumstances and other agendas dictate what's going to be the case for me and my home. No, look into your future. Look into the destiny and begin to believe it and declare it with authority. You may not know how to fight. That's why he didn't say to use your words. He didn't say to use Josh's words. But put on the screen, what does he say? He says, come on, Ezekiel. He says, say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Yeah. Whose word? Lord. Whose word? Lord. My words? No. Stephen Furtick's words? No. Like Curry Joke's words? No. The word of the Lord. I mean, young people, let me talk to you for a minute. I get, it's one thing, you know how to worship. You know how to pray, but you need the word of God in your spirit. You need it in your spirit. You got to have it in here. It can't be just something you've read. It has to be something that you declare. So it's a weapon that God gave you. And if you don't know what to say about the situation or the temptation or the frustration that you're going through, Google it. And then when you read it, don't just read it like, okay, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the head and not the tail, because I'm sick of being the rear end. I'm sick of being sat on. I'm sick of being done over. I'm sick of being the last person chosen. I'm sick of being the one that misses out. I am the head because of what Jesus did. He came, his arms were pierced, like Pastor John said. He had spear in his side. He was beaten and tortured, not for my survival, but for me to thrive, for me to live. I'm sick of what everyone else has, and I am the head, not the tail. And you start to speak to the enemy with authority, not weak but powerful, not your words but his words. Prophesy, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Parents, frustrated over your kids when they're asleep, pray over them the word of the Lord. Wives, is your husband a jerk? He's asleep on the couch. Instead of being ticked, pray over him the word of the Lord. Be careful what you pray. Your boss in the next room, making life difficult, lay your hand on the wall, pretend to do some stretches, but really you're like, I rebuke you. No! Speak out life. Prophesy in the name of the Lord, because it's not your words but his, and whatever you speak over must listen. Let me tell you, it must listen. Keys come. It has to listen, but it doesn't have ears. But when God told Moses to speak to the rock, he knew that the rock had to listen. And when the wind and the waves came, I didn't see any ears on the wind, but the wind and the waves had to listen. That when the demon spirit came upon that young child, Jesus spoke and the demon had to listen. You take authority over things of the air, over the things that limit you, on the things you're not standing for, and it will give you confidence and boldness when you speak the word of God, and doors will open and things will flee. A week ago or so, a new abortion bill was presented to Parliament. There's a whole lot of things in there, but the part that's really concerning, could seem small, but is actually quite large, is that while they're potentially reducing the age of abortion, connected with it is if there's two doctors that could sign off on the abortion, a child can be aborted at any point, up to full term. This is not what God planned for that child. It's not what the word promises. It's not what we're called to fight for. To be a voice for the voiceless, to stand for the innocent, to protect those that can't protect themselves. Children of God. Knew something had to be done. So we started to get my office. I just started praying this week. Going, God, what do we do? We had a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Come to the prayer meetings, guys. Speak it out, declaring that something's going to change. In the office, just speaking out the word of God. All of a sudden, boldness came upon me. So he texted the premier of the state. And who knows, things that we do maybe are for moments just like this without us even knowing. He said, Premier, I need to talk to you about the abortion bill. Within half an hour, he gave me a phone call. He started to let him know our deep, deep concerns, our inability to back anyone that backs a bill like this, that how this goes against our biblical beliefs, our cultural beliefs, our ethical beliefs as a church, and that the church won't stand for it. I'm not going to go into all of the conversation, but can I say we were definitely heard? And I say we definitely had an impact. Now, tell you, just a 39-year-old guy from Mobbery Heights, right? No, it's not. Just one sec. When you get this. But there is supernatural access that comes with supernatural authority that comes to when you get and start declaring the word of God and you think there's no way we can make a difference, but God suddenly opens doors. I say on this, if there comes to a point where as a church corporately we need to take action, we will. But that time is not now. You need to trust us that we know when that moment comes and we will take action. But our prayer is we shouldn't even have to, because this thing can get beaten before it even gets past the upper house or the lower house. We believe that change and amendments come, but what we can do as a church is we can pray. Too many people express what they think online instead of getting on their knees and expressing what they know to heaven and taking authority over the things of our world. I believe walls are coming down when the church rises up and takes authority over situations. that doors that should not be open will open, and access will be given that should not have access, and chains will break off that should never be on us. When we take our God-given authority and say, can I see it? I don't know how, but I delegate my authority to the Almighty. I believe it, and I speak with authority the Word of God at any opportunity, any moment, and then God begins to move. So as we go on in the passage, all of a sudden, bone comes to bone and connection comes back. Muscle comes to muscle and strength comes back. Skin comes upon muscle and feeling and life begins to appear. But there is the form of godliness but lacks the power thereby. Some of us are living but not breathing in that daily spirit that does supernatural things. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. One thing I've found is that the breath of God cannot help but follow the God-breathed word of God in your life. There's an order that when you believe and you speak the God-breathed word of God, the Spirit of God follows. So Ezekiel believes and God creates. Ezekiel now has a vision. Because you're like, I don't have a vision for next year. This is the order. Get with God and believe. Speak the word of God. Then God creates an army, and suddenly Ezekiel has a vision. That's called potential. And God can do incredible things with potential. But he says to Ezekiel, speak once more. Go to Ezekiel 37, verse 9. Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to come and breathe on the church and breathe in your life and breathe in your home and breathe in your situation again. And all of a sudden it says, suddenly. Everyone say, suddenly. So we love a suddenly moment. But was the suddenly the first step? No. We turn up to altars not wanting to believe. We just want to turn up. We want God just to do it for us. But Ezekiel had to see the pain. He had to believe in God. He had to speak the word. He had to get a vision. He had to prophesy to the wind. And all of a sudden, there is a suddenly. Let me tell you, when the suddenly comes, there will be such acceleration, such healing, such opportunity, such authority like you've never known before. But it comes on the end of a journey. We all love suddenly moments, like the woman that suddenly got healed with the issue of blood. But she had to walk all the way from her home, rejected, to get to the feet of Jesus. We love the centurion at Jesus' word. Suddenly his servant is healed, but he had to go on the journey of finding Jesus and speaking out truth to Jesus. We love the suddenlies, but it comes on the end of a journey of seeing what he sees, putting authority in his hand, declaring the word of God, and making room for the wind of the Spirit to come. And all of a sudden, suddenly, life forms. Come on, stand to your feet. It says, suddenly the wind of the Spirit, same breath. Everyone say breath. This is the same word here for the breath of God that breathed life into dust that formed Adam. It's the same breath of God that came and breathed on dry bones that became a body. It's the same breath that came and breathed in an upper room when the disciples had to see the church formed. We serve an all-creative God who can do new things with old bones. All he's looking for is a faith-filled person that can declare the word of God and be hungry for the Spirit of God. God has more for you. He is an all-creative, all-restoring, all visionary God. And what we see is an army standing upon us, people standing in front of us that says, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I believe where the prophet Joel says, and it was repeated again in Acts, that young men will dream dreams and old men will see visions. I believe that God's not finished with any of us, that God's got more, from the newest Christian to the youngest person, to the oldest person that's been here for all of their life. Age is not a restriction on God. It's just an opportunity for Him to turn up and do it again. I believe for your life, your home, your mind, your family, and your spirit, the favor of God is available to do supernatural things, to do impossible things, to bring healings and miracles and restoration and opportunity. Can these bones live? If you can see it or not see it, put the authority on the Almighty and declare the word of God, and a vision will come that life will be breathed into, and the best days you've ever seen, restoration, hope, peace, and life are coming. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. Come on, say amen. Amen.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did, and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for loving me and giving Your life for me. I pray You forgive me for my past and You walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your peace, Your purpose, Your joy, and Your hope into my life. I ask You to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.